I'll read 20 myself, and we can read 21 together. Go mutrina snapoyitva punargo rajasar bhakam raksham chakrus cha shakrita dvadashangishu namabihi. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The child was thoroughly washed with urine and then smeared with dust, raised by the movements of the cows. Then different names of the Lord were applied with cow dung on 12 different parts of his body, beginning with the forehead, as done in applying tilaka. In this way, the child was given protection. Okay, text 21. Gopya samsprishta salila.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Angeshu karayok pritak.
Angeshu karayok pritak.
Nyasyat manyatta bhalasya.
Nyasyat manyatta bhalasya.
Bijanyasam akurvata. Gopya samsprishta salila.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Angeshu karayok pritak.
Angeshu karayok pritak.
Nyasyat manyatta balasya.
Nyasyat manyatta balasya.
Bija nyasam akurvata.
Bija nyasam akurvata.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Angeshu karayo prithak.
Angeshu karayo prithak.
Nyasyat manyata balasya.
Nyasyat manyata balasya.
Vijanya samakurvata.
Vijanya samakurvata.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Angeshu karayo.
Angeshu karayok prita.
Nyasyat
manyatta balasya.
Bijanya
samakurvata.
Gopya
samsprishta salila.
Angeshu
karayok prita.
Yasat
manyata balasya.
Bijanya
samakurvata.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Gopya samsprishta salila.
Angeshu karayo prita.
Angeshu karayo prita. Yasyat manyata balasya. Bijanya samakurvata. Gopyaha.
Gopyaha.
The gopis.
The gopis.
Samsprishta salila.
Samsprishta salila.
Touching a cup of water and drinking.
Touching a cup of water and drinking.
That means did Achman. Doing Achman. Angeshu.
Angeshu.
On their bodies.
Bodies.
Karayoho. On their two hands. Pritak. Separately. Nyasya. After placing the letters of the mantra. Atmani.
On their own.
Ata.
Then.
Balasya, of the child. Bijanyasam, the process of mantra nyasa. Akurvata,
executed.
Translation and Srila Prabhupada's purport. The gopis first executed the process of achamana, drinking a sip of water from the right hand. They purified their bodies and hands with the Nyasa mantra and then applied the same mantra upon the body of the child. Purport. Nyasa mantra includes achamana, or first drinking a sip of water kept in the right hand. There are different Vishnu mantras to purify the body. The gopis, and in fact any householders, know the process for being purified by chanting Vedic hymns. The gopis executed this process first to purify themselves and then to purify the child Krishna. One executes the process of Anga Nyasa and Kara Nyasa simply by drinking a little sip of water and chanting the mantra. The mantra is preceded by the first letter of the name, followed by Anuswara and the word Namaha. Om Namo Jastavangri Avyat Mam Mano Manimam Stava Januni Avyat, and so on. By losing Indian culture, Indian householders have forgotten how to execute the Anga Nyasa and are simply busy in sense gratification, without any advanced knowledge of human civilization. Yes, I'm afraid that the Indian householders have forgotten how to execute the Anga Nyasa. They've forgotten how, in many most cases, how to live like civilized human beings. You know, they'll go to a place where food is being served out and eat standing up and stick their dirty hands back in the, you know, in the plate, in the serving plates. You know, and they're Brahmins. They've lost their culture. These rituals, they are taught in the Pancharatra Shastra. The actual Vedic rituals are different. But those who are not born in the families of the Vedic Brahmins are not privileged to execute the Vedic rituals. So for everyone else, including Stri, Shudra, Dvijabandhu, the Pancharatrika system is available to also worship the Lord. Even though you can't perform a Soma Yajna or other Vedic rituals, you can use the rituals of the Pancharatra. And any grihastha can execute these. Just like in the Sri Sampradaya. It's not that only a few are priests and perform the worship. Every initiated devotee performs his worship in his own home. And they do it very properly. They know all these. They know, as Prabhupada said, not only the gopis, any householders, any proper householders, know the process of being purified by chanting Vedic hymns or Pancharatrika mantras. And purification is by mantra, by worshipping Devata. But you have to know the mantra. You have to be initiated into mantra. And you must chant the mantra effectively. Then the worship is proper. And in the Pancharatrika system, we can read elaborate description of this in the Narada Pancharatra, this Anga Nyasa and Kara Nyasa are involved. Physical display of touching different parts of the body with different fingers, tips of the fingers, and chanting Bij Mantra and some other mantra, Mula Mantra or some other mantra. Bij Mantra is single syllable, letter of the alphabet, with Anuswara, with Bindu. Ang namo jas, mang mano, like that. These ang, mang, kong, kong, and gong, gong, mang, and so on, the whole alphabet, down to pshang. All these bija mantras are there. And then there's compound bija mantras, kshraum, kling, and so on. Hundreds of them. And there's, you can, before you're chanting Vedic mantra, before doing any mantra ritual, you can do this Anga Nyasa and Karta Nyasa. So there's a description in Narada Mantra and elsewhere how to properly chant your Gayatri mantra. But it could take you 2 hours. Do we have time for that? You want to spend 2 hours a day just chanting? Each time you chant your Gayatri, spend half an hour, say half an hour. with all the proper preliminary rituals and meditations, dhyanam and anganyask and everything else, it could take you half an hour. So you spend an hour and a half every day just chanting your Gayatri Mantra. There are those who have such time, and who would be doing something less useful otherwise. But for us, who are engaged in the Bhagavad Vidhi, and especially in preaching work, we don't have time for this. And if you read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Raghavartma Chandrika, we're not really ready for that, but the book is there. There's no terrible secrets in it. It's a basic description of the process of Raga Nuga Bhakti by an authority on the subject, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Just as he had his other book, Madhurya Kadambini, describes the experience of going through the stages of sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti. The Bhagavatam Chandrika focuses particularly on Raghunuga bhakti, Raghunuga sadhana. And in the beginning of the book, he says there are certain practices which are not favorable for the, not, let's say, compatible with or favorable to the practice of Raghunuga meditation. Because Raghunuga bhakti is primarily an inner practice of thinking about Krishna, remembering Krishna. That's the main thing in Raghunuga bhakti. And if there are certain activities that are technically activities of devotional service, but they're not compatible or favorable to Raghunuga practice. And one of them is this Anga Karanyasa, mentioned specifically. Now, it's not, better give it up when you enter into Raghunuga bhakti. It just gets in the way. Time wasted and attention distracted. Just sticking your fingers on your different parts of your body and chanting various mantras. The business of a devotee who actually comes to the stage of Raghunuga bhakti is not chanting mantras, but Nam Sankirtan, which is a different thing. Mantras are chanted. Chanting a mantra is a ritual for purification. Nam Sankirtan is performed on one who's already purified and is chanting Krishna's names in love. At least something approaching love, attraction, at least being free from offenses, free from undesirable behavior and attitude. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So at least we should be on the stage of nishta, then we can begin Raghunuga practice. So, okay, we're not ready to graduate, maybe, some of us, to Raghunuga practice yet, because we haven't achieved the stage of nishta, we're still fighting with our inertias, some of us. Therefore, okay, we're allowed to do anganyasa and karanyasa if we want. You shouldn't be wasting your time when you can be doing, when you have something important to do. Spend all day with rituals. Vishwanath Chakravarti doesn't say that this pancharatrika practice of the touching your body and chanting the beach mantras is detrimental to vaidhi bhakti. He doesn't say that. But our vaidhi bhakti is a mixed process, pancharatrika and Bhagavad Vidhi. Our service to Guru is more important than external rituals. In the service of Guru, if you're busy 24 hours a day and don't have time for rituals, that's very good. If you've got a lot of time for rituals, that means you're under-engaged in our practice. But the gopis are transcendental. The Vrijbhasis are transcendental. They may be performing rituals, but for them it's just a game. It's part of the lila to act Vedic, just for fun. They have no obligation. They have no need to become purified. They're imitating ordinary human ways just for their pleasure, or more importantly, for Krishna's pleasure. Let Krishna be happy. So we'll put on a whole show of being Vedic, just for Krishna's pleasure. And when Krishna doesn't want that, the devotees act otherwise. The devotees of Lord Jagannath don't act very Vedic. Ramanujacharya went to Puri and found fault with the way that Jagannath was being worshipped. He said, this is not according to proper Panchavatika method. You've got Shudras worshipping and they're doing all sorts of strange things and you're following their own kind of rituals that doesn't agree with the injunctions of Pancharatra. So he started thinking, I have to, like he did elsewhere, in places where there actually were deviations. Ramanuja visited many so-called holy places where the worship was deviant, and he rectified the worship, especially in the Sri Sampradaya. He made sure that in every temple, the Lord was being worshipped according to proper Pancharatrika system. That was part of Ramanuja's work, rectifying the worship of the Lord in the different places. So when he came to Puri, he also was going to do the same thing. He was thinking about, I'm going to talk to these pujaris and tell them how to worship Jagannath properly. And that evening, Jagannath picked him up and threw him away. Threw him to Kurukshetra. Yeah, kicked him out of the town. So I don't like being worshipped like this. And Ramanuja was expelled by Jagannath in person. Rather than rectify the worship. When Krishna wants, then his devotees can, worship in an irregular fashion. We want to just do whatever Krishna wants. And we should understand what Krishna wants out of us. In the condition we're in, and in the circumstances we're living, in the situation of the world, we have to understand what Krishna wants from us in particular. What kind of worship does he want from us? That's for him to decide, not us. And how do we know what Krishna wants? That's one of the prime functions of the guru, to tell the disciple, to know better than the disciple what Krishna wants, and to inform the disciple of what Krishna wants. Just like a doctor is meant to be better in knowledge of the physical condition of his patient than the patient himself is. If he isn't, then what do you need the doctor for? If you know better how to cure yourself, why waste money and trouble going to the doctor? He's supposed to know better than you how to cure you. And that is the basis of the patient-doctor relationship. He knows what to do and you don't. So that's the basis of the guru-disciple relationship. I don't know and he does. I don't know how to please Krishna. He does. And therefore I submit myself. Tadvidi pranipatena. I bow myself down on the ground, showing submission. And the indication, what is indicated by that lying down on the ground is not that I'm cleverly trying to manipulate your feelings so that I can get what I want out of you by bowing down. There's a class, Prabhupada refers to a class of men, especially in Bengal, called Dandavadis, who will, I remember once in Mayapur, a disciple of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers came and wanted my tape recorder for his Guru Maharaj. I had a nice tape recorder from America. And he was ready to do anything to get that, to show any indication, any sign of humility, bowing down, scraping and begging to get that tape recorder. That's the Dandavadi class of men who, not only Bengalis, I'm sorry, but it's an attitude of showing humility in order to manipulate people. The pranipata that Krishna's talking about is the indication should be, and the thought behind it, that you're guru, I'm ignorant, you're full of knowledge, please instruct me, I submit myself to you as a student. That's the traditional attitude. The modern attitude is, you see the bumper sticker, question authority. And it doesn't mean pati prashnina. It means doubt authority. It's our business in modern education to doubt authority. To be critical, to learn how to become critical thinkers. To learn mistrust for our predecessors, the thinkers of the past. Tear them apart. With our critical thinking. I saw that when I first went to the university. My faith in the university lasted 2 days. I went there, and there's a course called Western Civilization. you know, whether you read all the works of the main thinkers of the modern world. We started with René Descartes, who was a big skeptic. Yeah, wanted to start his philosophical query by doubting everything. Existence of God, existence of anything that people believe in just because they have some authority, they make you believe in things. So he said, I'm not going to believe in anything. Let me look inside and see what I can find without believing what anybody else tells me. And he was sitting there thinking, here I am doubting whether anything exists, whether God exists. But who's doubting here? Who's doing this doubting? Cogito ergo sum. I'm thinking, therefore I must exist. That was so he founded his philosophy on that. I'm sitting here thinking whether anything is real. Well, I must be real because I'm thinking. And then he started, further speculating. He proclaimed back in 1520, whenever he was doing this proclaiming, that I will finish the entire project of science in my lifetime. Give me some money, give me some helpers, and I'll figure everything out. And we'll map out the entire, corpus of all the sciences and figure everything out about the material, about the world. Just give me a little help, a little support. I know what to do. Anyway, he died without finishing that plan. Maybe he didn't get enough help. He didn't figure everything out. Anyway, the first day of my university education, we studied René Descartes. We had homework assignments, read what he wrote, something he wrote. We discussed it in class. It sounded pretty intelligent. This is interesting. This man has something to say. And the teacher said, okay, Wednesday, next class, we're going to study how the next philosopher defeated Descartes to pieces and established a whole different idea. And I was disillusioned. What's the use of all these ideas from this man if the next day you tear him down and make another theory? Nasao Rishi, Yasya Matam Napinam. This goes back thousands of years, 5,000 years ago. Domya Rishi was warning Yudhishthir that you can't trust philosophers. No one's considered a philosopher unless he has a different opinion from all the other philosophers. So there's no consensus. Nothing is established. By speculative philosophy, nothing is established for certain. So the modern system is question authority, doubt authority. Be critical. You want to learn that? Go to the university. And you can even, get a degree and get a job and learn how to think critically. But that's not our method. Our method is the opposite. Tadvani pratipatena. You submit yourself. And that bowing down, the message that's supposed to be behind it, what you should be thinking. Because you can bow down and think, well, here's my way to manipulate. Or you can be bowing down and thinking that he knows more than me. And I'm willing to be the recipient, the faithful recipient, ready to accept what he has to give me, the knowledge. So by that method, we find out what Krishna wants from us. What kind of rituals or what kind of form of worship Krishna wants us to do. We're all here together because we're all followers of Srila Prabhupada. We've been informed by him what Krishna wants from us. Prabhupada has a very clear program to save the world by introducing pure Krishna consciousness. And to do it by means of getting people to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, follow a few simple regulative principles, live in the association of others who are doing the same thing, and get knowledge from the Gita and the Bhagavatam. Some other things. Worship the deities in the temples, have centers where the deities of Krishna is being worshipped, or of Lord Chaitanya, where The Bhagavatam and Gita are studied. Where brahmacharis live in an ashram, these centers should be there. And then devotees who don't live in those centers should practice in their homes. If possible, worship of the deity. Whenever possible, sitting down and studying the Gita and Bhagavatam with family, with friends. Certainly chanting their rounds every day. Basic, simple program. And it's a program for saving the world, for saving individuals, that can be applied to every single person, human being in the world. We don't know how to apply this methodology to cats and dogs. But human beings who have a little bit of intelligence and a little bit of faith, Shradhovana Jonahi, oh, people who can have a little confidence and faith, please hear me, Nityananda Prabhu is saying. Those who have a little bit of trust in us and a little bit of intelligence, they can be engaged in this simple process. This is what Prabhupada has taught us, how we, in general, all of us, human beings living on this planet at this particular time in history, how we can satisfy Krishna by serving him. Other things can be done for Krishna, but this is the basic program. If we chant 16 rounds a day, follow the principles and a basic sadhana program, then we'll be fit to be informed of further details from Krishna through his agents, what he wants us as individuals to do for him. Otherwise, we're not fit. There's no use being told what our sarupa is or what our eternal service to him is when we're not fit to do it. As we become fit, we get informed about what we can do. The problem is to become fit, capable of doing anything. So the basic program makes us capable to do something to start. We find out from our acharyas. Prabhupada's founder acharya, not only that, he's not just, you know, the ancient person, you know, we have his painting and his statues. Prabhupada is, he's only been gone for a few years. And those who knew him directly, his disciples are still around, some of them. And they'll be around for a few more years. And Prabhupada's books are here. And his instructions, as long as his instructions are still being followed, and ISKCON actually is serving his purposes, Prabhupada will be present in that form. And thus Prabhupada is not just the ancient founding acharya, something in history, but he's a living presence. He's the shiksha guru of everybody who considers himself a follower of him. Even those outside of ISKCON, they still may have some faith in Prabhupada. So he is Shiksha Guru for many. He should be considered Shiksha Guru by everyone in ISKCON, and those outside of ISKCON can also accept him as Shiksha Guru. By following Prabhupada's guidance and by taking others, taking a Diksha Guru and other Shiksha Gurus inside ISKCON, you can be informed what Krishna wants you as an individual to do. Now, the question may be there. How do I know what Krishna wants me to do? Tadvidhi pratipatena. Go to the spiritual authorities. Take counsel from your gurus. Prabhupada is your first guru. You have your Diksha Guru, and you may have other gurus. They can help you understand what Krishna wants you to do. Okay, so any questions or comments? Mayapur Chandrapur, then Jambavan.
The question we asked, how do we... Why should we count on Srila Prabhupada and not take some other guru? For instance, there's some of the Babaji's over in Radhakund who claim that they're very, very advanced, they have so many followers, etc., etc. Why should we choose Srila Prabhupada?
We think he's better. You can decide for yourself. I wouldn't condemn you if you decide to follow somebody else. That's your business. But I think the method that was established by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisanta Sarasvati, and carried out by Prabhupada, is superior for us to the more superficial attempt to directly do what Vibhuvan Sanatan Goswami did, to directly engage in Raghunuga Bhakti without being really properly prepared. So the Babaji's are mostly doing that. I say mostly. There may be some who are very advanced, but there's a lot of neophytes. I think, you take a really good Babaji and a mediocre ISKCON devotee, I think the ISKCON devotee would weigh more on the scales. But there's some exceptions. Some of them are Paramahamsas, and we shouldn't criticize. Yes.
I have a very practical experience of what you were saying yesterday. I was coming home from class and looking at where I stand at the moment.
Yes.
And there was a car going through the Parikrama. A lot of ladies in the car, they're distributing cloth to the old ladies.
Yes.
And then some of the Babajis, who are actually quite recognized as being evolved personalities, when they heard that the ladies had received cloth from these people in the car had started to leave. They were running after the car, wanting cloth. And it just made me so aware that in the age of Kali, Prabhupada has given a perfect formula for us as we are, what we can actually factually are and what we can factually achieve. His best presented the process. It just made me, it was like a very graphic example.
Yes, it's really sad that a saintly Vaishnava has to beg for, it's become so degraded they had to beg for 10 rupees, or for a piece of cloth. Yes?
So in the possible future, let's just say we ended up near Radhakund, should we generally stay away from Babaji then?
Maybe we should stay further away from Radhakund. Maybe we shouldn't be 1 kilometer away from it only. Yeah, we got to be real careful. I'm going to be really strict. If we end up setting up our camp 1 kilometer or less from Radhakund, you shouldn't go listening to people who are not connected with ISKCON. It's a no-no. It's not allowed to go listen to lectures unless we give special permission. You got to ask special permission. But you can't go wandering off to hear katha from someone who's not connected with ISKCON. That's one of our rules. It's a rule now, but especially if we get it near to Radhakund, it's dangerous. Yeah.
It's not only that they're not connected to ISKCON; they're not connected to our
parampara. Yeah, some of them. Are, yes.
Prabhupada, he preaches an improper birthplace of Mahaprabhu. He criticizes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So how can we go to somebody like that?
Yes, certainly. But even beyond that, I mean, even within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we've got controversies and disagreements. Plenty. Yeah. Oh, I see. That was a Gaudiya Vaishnava, but...
Excuse me?
A Gaudiya Vaishnava who says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place...
His
birthplace is elsewhere.
Babaji at Radhakund, and that's Babaji.
Okay.
And many ISKCON devotees are going to his classes, his disciples' classes right now.
Okay.
He doesn't recognize the birthplace of Mahaprabhu as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Bhaktivinoda Thakur acknowledge it. And he doesn't recognize
Bhaktisiddhanta as being in. Yes. And he's a gentleman. I don't think he goes out of his way to badmouth anybody. But we should not go to listen to him or read his books. That's a rule, okay? For your own good. If there's some purpose, real purpose, to look at his books, you'll have to take special permission for it. We have to maintain spiritual chastity. We're asking everybody to come to classes and to the programs, the morning program, even the yoga. We're asking everybody that. Beyond that, we're not locking the doors in the afternoon, and you don't have to ask permission to go outside. But as a rule, don't go listen to katha from those who are not connected with ISKCON. Okay, anybody does that, they're gonna we're gonna have to question whether we can maintain you if you're gonna be unfaithful. For special purpose, if you have to look at someone's book, we have the books on the shelf. I've got a collection of 300 books by various Babaji authors. I've got them all on the shelf, but I don't read them. But if there's some purpose to read them, we have them in the library. Yes, sir?
I have one practical maybe question for the teaching.
I'm sorry, John, you'll get your turn. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I heard that Bhakti Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he was preaching to different people, he was just put them and he was preaching first philosophy. And then he was giving, when people understood what is the philosophy, then he was giving Maha Mantra them to chant.
Yes.
Should we also follow like this in ISKCON Center? Because sometimes I have seen, just to know what is like proper, sometimes I have seen, especially in India, that we are on the beginning for the youths or students, we're giving immediately japa and then giving them to chant Maha.
We're certainly giving kirtans, you know, rock and roll kirtan, all sorts of kirtans, public, you know, big festivals. Going out to Times Square and getting the drunks and the pimps to chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think Prabhupada was more liberal. We're not giving diksha.
Yeah,
but you know, some Gaudiya Mutts, you can't have a tulsi mala until you get second initiation. But we're not so fussy about that. And I think, so yeah, Sunday feast, we hand out japa malas to the guests and then take them back, you know, unless they pay for them. So I think we're sort of liberal about that. We don't give initiation to just anybody, but you know, to chant on beads, you know, we should encourage that. We're desperate. We got to get people to chant Hare Krishna. They're on the way to hell. You know, we got to save them. So if that breaks some sort of rule, let's take the risk anyway. You know, we just shouldn't give out initiation loosely, because that's a serious thing. If we collect thousands of useless disciples, and ISKCON will be dragged down. But just because we're giving people japa malas, I don't think that will ruin ISKCON. ISKCON is authorized to take that risk. Okay. Japa
Mantra. One doubt may be raised, because even within our movement, so many gurus, they may have like different opinions or views on things.
Yes.
And someone may say, well, how do I know to take one guru when maybe I may not agree with their opinion? Or another problem may be, you know, you can't have somebody just continually going from guru to guru, and then when they don't agree with something, they go to the next one. What can you give some practical advice for devotees about that?
Yeah. First of all, understand that there is room for personal, you know, personal taste. Not that every temple has to follow exactly the same rituals. The rituals are sometimes not very important. You know, whether we chant, you know, these particular mantras after Mangala Arati, we spend a half hour chanting six different things, or we don't. This is individual taste and individual situation. One guru likes his disciples to chant this mantra and to do this ritual. Another one likes them to do something else. That's allowed. It's not that everybody has to be the same. You know, but it's all within the scope of Prabhupada's basic program. You know, if we had a guru who asked everybody to read Shankaracharya's books, you know, then that would be questionable and it should be stopped. But within what Prabhupada wanted us to do, there's various mixes, there's various, you know, emphases that can be placed. One guru in one group is emphasizing prasadam distribution or something, and that's allowed. That's part of Prabhupada's program. It doesn't all have to be uniform, exactly the same. But the basic principles Prabhupada taught, the basic philosophy, and the things that Prabhupada put emphasis on, the activities of distributing books, distributing prasadam, and establishing ISKCON centers that are centers of worship and study, this should not be underemphasized. It shouldn't be neglected, and nothing else should replace it. This is our basic program. But as far as the specific implementation and the embellishment, there can be a lot of individual variation. So as long as you can pick any guru you want, as long as that guru is following Prabhupada's program, is faithful to Prabhupada and following his program. And you want to know whether, go ask the GBC. You know, did the GBC certify him as having no objection to him being a guru? And you can ask whether, even though you certified him 5 years ago, is there any problem with him? You can go ask senior devotees. You know? It's like you're going to buy a car, get some opinions. You know, drive it around the block, show it to your friend who knows, you know, what might be wrong with the car. You know, go ask some questions. I'm thinking of taking initiation from so-and-so. Is there anything wrong with him? You know, you can ask. Before taking initiation, you can ask. And then if someone is faithful to Prabhupada's program, following Prabhupada's instruction, is a faithful disciple and a faithful representative of Prabhupada and ISKCON, then even if he has some individual preferences that are a little bit different than the other guru, next guru's preferences, it doesn't matter. He's bona fide, and you can accept him. If he's not following Prabhupada, then it's questionable. It takes a little intelligence, but you also take advice. Ask questions, ask the opinions of others before you make your choice. Okay. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.